good morning. It's Pastor Craig. It's been a couple weeks since we've talked together, and I pray, man, today you got yourself a wonderful cup of Joe, and it's going to be a beautiful day. You know, we're finally coming to the end of this long season here in the state of Illinois. It sounds like next Friday we're going to be opened up. So I'm just praying that that happens. And I know that it's been a long time coming for us, but man, God is so good, and He's been doing some great things. Even with limitations, restrictions, anything like that, God is not restricted whatsoever, and we as believers aren't either. And I just want to thank you for your faithfulness in all of this. Man, there has been some incredible things that have been happening at Canton Assembly, and most importantly, we are seeing lives changed and transformed for eternity. We have seen several of our students that have gotten saved. They've rededicated their lives. In fact, next week, June 13th, we're having a new life celebration. It's going to feature our baptism service. Right now, we've got anywhere from 8 to 13 people. It kind of just depends on how many are all going to be here that day. But right now, it's planned for almost 15 individuals to get baptized in water and give a public testimony of their love and devotion to Jesus and the new life that they have experienced in Him. Following that, we're going to have a great celebration together. We're going to have a cookout and all the good things that go along with that. But hey, you know, I've been in the book of Acts, and we've been looking at an account in Acts chapter 14 where Paul and Barnabas were in Lystra, and we've looked at several things there. But one of the things that really stuck out was that there was an overwhelming desire to go back into the city, even in the face of opposition, even in the face where Paul, it cost him his life. See, there was an event that took place in his life, and one of those things is that he was absolutely filled with God's love. He was filled with the Spirit. He was baptized in the Holy Spirit. When you read through Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2, one of the things that Jesus said to the disciples was that don't leave Jerusalem until you have been endued with power. And the specific language there talks about the promise of the Father. And man, if you read through Acts chapter 2, you know, man, it's just amazing what happened to Peter. Peter was a coward, and when he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, he was full of boldness and courage, and he brought forth the Word of God in a way that seemed impossible. And the same people that would have killed him and killed Jesus, he was the one that he addressed them. And in doing so, there was 3,000 souls added to the kingdom that day. It's incredible. So I want to encourage you to continue to seek after that. These disciples were already converted. They were born again. John chapter 20, you can read in there. Jesus appeared to them and breathed on them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were born again. But then He said, there's something special for you. And it says in Acts that it's for you, it's for your children's children, and all that are far off. So it's for us today too, friends. And I'm not going to focus on that today, but I just wanted to encourage you to continue to press in for that. But one of the things that really struck me was that there was something that changed in their hearts. When they were absolutely consumed and filled, they wanted to see the world changed, not for themselves, but for God, for Jesus. And in Acts chapter 4, verse 32, one of the things that was a fruit of this baptism, it was a fruit of just being so full of God and so full of His love, was this. It says, all the believers were of one heart, okay? They were in one accord, all right? And mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything that they had. Now listen, we live in a day and age, we all know, where everybody just kind of gets their own, right? But there's a principle in the scriptures that it's so important, and it's a reflection of the heart of God. And it's this principle of generosity. It's this principle of giving. It's this principle of just surrendering. And one of the things that happens, I don't know if you've experienced this, but I know my wife and Kelly and I have, but when we were born again, when we received Christ into our hearts, there was something that even the very possessions that we had, we recognized that they were just gifts on loan to us. I mean, our needs were being met, but there were times that we just felt a generosity that was welling up inside of us. In fact, in Proverbs, okay, it's 11:25. Proverbs 11:25 says that a generous man will prosper. A generous woman, a generous person, a generous church, a generous organization will prosper. And it's not always prospering as the world talks about prospering. Sometimes it does have to do with money, but more often than not, I found that there's just something that prospers inside of us, in our soul, in our mind, in our will, in our emotions, that happens when we release our possessions to the Lord. See, they gave as everybody had a need. They didn't consider their own and it to be their own. There was no stinginess. They weren't sitting there trying to build up their little kingdoms for themselves. You know, Jesus addressed money more than a lot of other topics. In fact, he talked about money a lot. Money is not evil, okay? Some people try to say that money is the root of all evil, but that's a misquoting of Scripture. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, it says that the love of money, okay, when my affection, when my love and my zeal and my passions and my desires are attached to my money, there's something that's out of whack. And it's described in the Scriptures as being evil because it's the opposite of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is generous. The kingdom of God is giving. The kingdom of God is surrendering and loving and yielding to what Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives. But when we are, when our affection is with our money, we hold it unto ourselves. And I will tell you that money is just simply a resource. And it's used powerfully when it's surrendered to God. In Luke chapter 16, verse 10, that's where Jesus was talking about being faithful with a little. You will be faithful with much. You know, sometimes we want the much, but we haven't proven to be faithful even with the little bit that God gives us. That's why tithing is so important, and giving over and above the tithe, that's really where giving starts. Tithing is simply bringing back to God what is already His. But friends, I just want you to know that there's so much tied to generosity. There is so much. There is a connection with generosity and a heart of giving and the power of Holy Spirit that can work in us and through us. You know, we believe, as the Scriptures say, that God can do exceedingly and abundantly more than we can ever ask or even think of, according to the power that is at work within us. And it has to do with faith. It has to do, where do we put our trust? Do I put my place my trust and hope in money? I think if we're all honest, there's a little bit of us that all do that, don't we? We like to have the security, and there's nothing wrong with, you know, planning. I mean, we need to be providing for our needs and for our families. We need to be paying our bills. It's not the government's job to give us money. It is our job to take care of these things as Christians and as lovers of God. And we are called to give out of the abundance and live within our means and all these types of things. Well, I will tell you this, man, God is so good, and He has blessed us with so many things. But one of the things that the enemy tries to get a hold of is this area of generosity in our lives. I can remember back in my own life, you know, Kelly and I, gosh, we were so poor when we first started our journey together of 28 years. We lived in this little house out in the country on a hog farm, and, you know, we put up with the stink and did all that, but it was just amazing. We rented that place for like $150 a month, and then we had to mow like acres of grass just to live there. But boy, those were rewarding times, and God showed us even in our most humbling moments where we just didn't have anything and we were still tithing and carrying, God would provide, you know, food for us. In fact, I know that there was at least four or five different vehicles that were given to us. And now what's so neat is that Kelly and I have been able to bless other people with vehicles and just give them away too. It's just been an amazing journey. And again, these weren't like high dollar vehicles or anything, but they were good quality vehicles that people just needed and at their point of need. And we were able to meet a need in their life. And we're just so thankful for the opportunity to do that. It's having a generous heart. I wish I could say that I've always had that, because there's times that I haven't. But think about this. We're born selfish. We're born saying, mine, right? We take possession of everything, and it doesn't matter whether it's in the church world, it doesn't matter if it's outside of the church, it's mine, right? We learn that at a very early age, but one of the things that is so important is that we realize that when we are born again, when the Spirit of God comes in and takes up residence on the inside of us, we are born again, selfless, not selfish. We're not saying mine anymore, we're saying yours, Lord. And we surrender the rights to those things in our lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And that's what's so exciting about the journey of serving Jesus, is it doesn't matter if we have this or have that, and we might like those things, or we might have a preference for something and all this and that, but if we're right in the center of God's will and He calls on us to give something away or meet a need in somebody's life or buy somebody a meal that you don't know, or, you know, all these types of things God can ask you to do, it's so rewarding on the inside. It gives you a lift. It fills your heart with joy unspeakable. And I will tell you, that joy unspeakable, there is power attached to it. And this is what the Holy Spirit spoke to me. There is power in joy. Friends, we should be the most joyful people on the earth. Why? Because we have $1 million in our bank account? No, because we have salvation in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. And we have an answer that we can share with the world. Doesn't mean that we're never going to suffer. It doesn't mean we're never going to go through seasons where we might have a lot. Maybe we don't have a lot. You know, it means that He's going to go with us all the way through this journey. It's an incredible, incredible thing. You know, there's a warning about money. And Jesus was talking to the rich young ruler. It's in Matthew chapter, I believe it's 19, okay? But it says in there that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter heaven. Why? Because riches and money and all those types of things can really grab a hold of us. It goes to this pride thing on the inside of us and tries to make us think that we're somehow better than another person. Friends, the playing field is level. There is none righteous. No, not one. The only righteous one was Jesus Christ. And He gave His life for you and for me. And so when we live for Him, one of the things that we're called to do, Philippians chapter 2, read through it, man. Jesus took on the very nature of a servant, and that's the very essence of the gospel. Us serving other people, not being served, we're serving other people. So when we come together, man, and we worship and we give God everything that we have, it doesn't matter what song's on. I'm just there to worship Jesus. I'm just there to lift up the King of Kings. And there might be somebody in that gathering that just needs the joy that's on the inside of me. And maybe there's a need I can meet in their life, or vice versa. One of the things that's so cool about Scripture is that we are blessed. Why? To bless ourselves? No, we are blessed to be a blessing to others. So when I read and I see one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit that is just amazing to me, and how can we possibly come to a place where we surrender our possessions, where we literally, you know, that Acts 4:32 experience where we're sitting there and we're just saying, God, it's all yours. How can that happen? The Holy Spirit filling our hearts and filling our lives. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is so important, because it's when He has control of us. He has control of our will when we surrender to Him. Here's the thing. Every day, you and I still have a choice to make. Are we going to serve Him? Are we going to serve ourselves? Are we going to be selfish, which is the sinful nature, which is our flesh? Or are we going to live selflessly for Jesus, surrendered? And that's the Spirit. Galatians says to walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh Why? Because the flesh always wants to do the opposite of what the Spirit wants you to do. So generosity is an incredible, incredible gift from God. And it says in the scriptures that when we are generous to others, we ourselves will be blessed. In fact, it says this. It says, a generous man will prosper. He who refreshes another will himself be refreshed. I love that scripture. I don't know about you, but I want to be refreshed. But one of the keys to unlocking that refreshment in our lives is being a blessing and a refreshment to other people. I hope this has helped you today. And again, pursue God, pursue just that feeling, going deeper with God, allowing Holy Spirit to just have your life and even your possessions, man. Maybe something's got a hold of you like it has me from time to time in my life. You know, it's not about power and prestige. We don't use money for, gain or anything like that in the church. We use it to advance the kingdom of God. So I want to encourage you today to surrender all to Jesus. You will never, ever, ever be disappointed. Hey, again, next week, June 13th, come on out and join us. We're having a new life celebration. People are getting saved. People are getting filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a wonderful, wonderful time right now at Canton Assembly. And I know we're praying for the other churches in town that they would just be filled to overflowing with new believers and people excited about coming to God. We are so excited about what Jesus is doing. And we love you. We are praying for you. If we can help you in any way, just give us a holler. But again, go for Jesus every day. Love you. Bye-bye.